WGNU.
Our show today is about simple abundance, and the first person that came to my mind when we were brainstorming who we might have on was a friend of mine named Jan Cloninger, and she's going to share the hour with us. Jan is the author of two books and is also a trained spiritual director who works with individuals and groups interested in living their lives with intention and purpose. Welcome to the show, Jan.
Thank
you. Enlighten us. Just what does a spiritual director do?
In a traditional sense, a spiritual director is someone who companions someone on a spiritual journey. A lot of times would be connected with a specific religious order or a specific religious development. But now I look at it in a broader sense as far as being able to help people nurture their spirits. Because as you all know, most of us agree that we consist of our body, mind, and spirit. And a lot of us take good care of our bodies and we take good care of our minds, but we don't nurture our spirit. And that's where I think we get our energy and passion for life. And so I think it's important that we're aware of what our spirit is and how to nurture it and how to put it out into the world.
Actually, the first thing that goes through my mind is spirit is, do I have time to add one more thing to our list? And Pam, what about you?
I'm just wondering what the relationship between getting in touch with your spiritual side and dealing with stress, how that sort of plays together.
Jan's nodding her head.
That's a very good question. For me, my experience in going out and working with people and talking with people is that when we're not in touch with our spirit, we are all the more stressed in our lives because we're not living authentically. We are trying to be externally driven, that we're looking at what other people think or what other people say about us or things we need to own so that other people will think about us in a certain way. To me, when we're in touch with our spirit, we're internally driven. We know who we are, we know what's important to us, and we live our lives accordingly.
There are a lot of buzzwords going around, and I wonder whether that's sort of what you're talking about. So living with intent, getting in touch with yourself, being passionate about what you do, all are those the kinds of things that you're talking about?
Yes. To me, a person who is in touch with their spirit, I'm sure we've all can think of people that we know. They live with passion. They live with intention. They know who they are. You can just sense them when you walk into a room. And I think it's just that it's people who've gone on that search and who've answered the question of who am I and what I want my life to look like, and then go about trying to attain that.
So you've been on the search. I'm going to ask that question. So that kind of puts you, tell us about your search.
Well, my search, my being very intentional about my search, started probably about 12 years ago. When I was young, I took on all of the beliefs that society tells us that if we go out in the world and make enough money and do great things and we're considered successful in life, that we will be happy. My experience was that we went out, we started a business, it was very successful, but I wasn't happy. I was chasing the dream of making a lot of money, but that's not what made me happy. And the more money I made, the more I realized I'm not happy. And so I began the search about 12 years ago asking myself the question, what makes me happy? What do I enjoy doing? And what I discovered is that money isn't the gauge of my success, but how I feel inside myself is the gauge of my success.
But I'm at the opposite spectrum, because what I love to do doesn't generate enough money for me to live. So where's the balance?
I think just doing what you love in whatever ways that you can. For some people, you don't have the ability to maybe quit your day job and go follow your passions because it doesn't pay, or you just don't have the skills yet to do it. But that doesn't mean you can't volunteer or you can't find situations that you can put yourself in that some of your time you're doing what you love. What I find is that a lot of people, just having not ever asked the question, they have no sense of joy in their life because there's nowhere that they enjoy their passions. You see people who are passionate about parenting or about animals or whatever, and they volunteer at the Humane Society or they volunteer working with kids. And just having that little bit in their life is enough to keep their life sparked and energized.
Pam, you've got, you actually do take care of, you know, the singing that you love to do and the speaking you love to do. So you're feeding that. What we want to do and be real creative on the show is, how do we help her find ways to make more money so she can continue doing
That's
the things
right.
she loves? So, because when we stop doing those, in fact, Barbara Shear has written some wonderful books about, I think she calls it your touchstone. Are you doing something that feeds you? Maybe it isn't something that you get a lot of money from, but are you doing something that you love?
Well, and I think the other thing that comes about, too, is what are we willing to give up in order to be able to do more and more of what we want to do?
Give up?
Yeah. I hear the word give up, and it's like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. But is that about the intention here?
But it may be that, you know, we are not going to live in the big, giant house that everyone, again, defines as success. Maybe we're going to downsize. Maybe we're going to lower our needs so that we don't need as much
income. I hate this part.
But actually, on the other side, it's the best part because you are now free from all of those things that tie you down and prevent you from nurturing your spirit.
I saw a show not too long ago about people hanging on to possessions and figuring out how to give. Oh, I know it was Dr. Phil, of course, and people who were pack rats. And, you know, hanging on to the baby booties and the little children's clothes and the first picture that their son made in kindergarten and so on. And that was, the emotional connection of who they felt they were. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We need to take a quick break here, Karen. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Jan.
Welcome back to Women Inspiring Women right here on WGNU AM 920. I'm Karen Hoffman here with my co-host, Pam Royal. Our guest today is Jan Cloninger.
Before the break, you were talking, Jan, we were talking about being pack rats and how we get connected to things instead of purpose. And I'm really interested in how you think people can break that cycle. And I know one of the books you've written is Time to Reflect. Is that correct? How does that sort of marry together? That because we all do. We get hooked on things.
I think, again, as you go deeper inside yourself and get clear on who you are, what you enjoy doing, how you enjoy doing things, the attachment with things automatically starts to happen because the things can start to interfere with allowing you to have the free time or the freedom to do what you really love. So suddenly those things aren't quite as important because they're standing in your way. I like to say that sometimes I'm very organized because I like to have free time, and I don't want to waste time looking for things. So I don't like clutter because that interferes with my ability to have quiet time or downtime or whatever fun time that I want to have in my life.
I always tell a funny story. When my husband and I moved down here from Chicago, we came from the Chicago area originally, and we had about four boxes in our basement that were storage boxes, packed, labeled, taped shut and everything. And they were down there for almost 30 years. And, you know, it got to the point where I was scared to open them because I knew if I opened it, I forgot I had this. Oh, well, why this? And then you just pack them all back up and tape them again and put them aside for another 30 years. But once you see them, you can't divest yourself of them, or at least I can't.
Well, and there's some things like that. There are special things that you need to hang on to, but I think I ask the question now, is it really reflect who I am, or does it have a very special memory that I need to hold on to, or can I hold on to that memory in a different way without having the thing? Because the thing in the box really doesn't do much for me. And I also have a system where I have like a holding spot in my house to where I think I want to get rid of stuff, but I'm not quite ready to let it go. I'll put it in the holding spot in my basement. And when that area gets too full and I know I have to clean out, if I haven't gone and looked at that thing or needed that thing, then I can move it from the holding spot and get rid of it and let it go completely.
And I read somewhere, and I don't remember where it was, but to take pictures sometimes of the the memorabilia stuff, you can still then remember the stuff without the stuff.
Yes.
But pictures, I mean, I have boxes of pictures, you know, and I think my kids are just ready for me to, you know, kind of pack it in, and they're going to go through, and they're not going to know what all of that stuff is, and it's going to get pitched. But
one of the things I want to do with that, I have those too, is I want to do for the kids, we have three kids plus a bonus daughter, and to do one for each one of them and give them as a Christmas present or something, which is getting rid of it for me, but putting it in the hands of someone with the memories.
I agree with that, but I want to ask Jan a question because that leads me to another thought, which is I love to scrapbook. I love to put things together, but I always feel, because it is so much fun, I feel guilty about taking the time to do that, that I should be doing something else that is, quote, more productive or generates income or is a benefit to somebody else, so that I set it aside as a want but not a need.
I think the key word of what you said that I picked up on is that you should. And when I work with people, when I'm teaching them meditation as a stress reliever, one of the things I say is that every time you hear the word should go off in your voice and your head, to question it. Because it really needs to be our desire, our want. And if it brings you happiness, if it's a wonderful thing that you do, and it's something maybe you're giving and sharing with other people, what a wonderful way to nurture your spirit.
See, I sit here and I feel guilty because I don't scrapbook.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I love to, but I don't.
But see, I don't like enjoy it like it sounds like you do.
Oh no, I really like it.
And see, I would love to like it enough to do it because I want to create these gifts for the kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just on that topic, what I did is because the same thing. I wanted to create a scrapbook. My son just graduated high school last year, and I wanted to do all that. And I'm not a scrapbooking person. But what I did do is I took all the old pictures, and I scanned them in the computer, and I put them to music. And I gave him a DVD that kind of told a little bit of the story of his life. So I was able to capture the pictures that were important to us, tell the story. And it was my own personal way, in a way that I enjoyed doing it.
I'm
for
sitting
our purpose.
Between talented people. I
no,
don't have
not.
The computer. Yes, I am, which is a good thing you guys have those talents.
Well, I was just going to just to make you feel just a little worse.
Thank you.
What I did with my pictures is I put them into a PowerPoint presentation, and so I have Christmas with all the slides coming in and out and all the graphics and the music.
Okay. But there's listeners that can do this stuff, and then there's the listeners that are like me.
But Karen, I still have boxes and boxes and boxes of pictures that I don't. It's overwhelming.
Well, I think, too, when I look at that, I think that, again, it comes back to what are your passions? What is your purpose for doing it? Some people want to do scrapbooking because it's a creative process. I paint, not because I will ever sell a painting or I know what I'm doing or have any talent, but I enjoy the process of it. Mm-hmm. So it's a creative process for me, and it's something that I need to do creatively. But my passion for doing those pictures is my son. Mm-hmm. I am passionate about him, and I wanted to give him that gift. So that was my motivator, and that's where I think understanding who you are, what your motivations are, where your passions lie, then you can determine, do I want to do this, and for what reasons?
Well, I just have an idea for Pam. Okay. When you're doing the scrapbooking, instead of feeling guilty, you're thinking of how this is giving you fresh ideas for different things that have to do with career. Whether it does or not, you can pretend it does.
I would suggest do a scrapbook on your own personal career history. First of all, your children and other people probably don't understand your whole professional history.
Nobody does.
But it would also, while you're Nobody doing it, does. It would be creative, and you might start to see some threads.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. I think it's actually a very good thing for you to think about doing for the threads, for the commonalities, for what keeps coming up in your life.
Oh, that's a good idea. That
and then it becomes productive.
And for some
the
people...
The more productive workplace... Right. I'm going into the second book. Dan's second book is The More Productive Workplace. And I am tying it together because we were talking about being productive. But what does that have to do with the time to reflect and getting grounded and... You know, why did you do more productive workplace?
Well, because as I was working with individuals, I was constantly asked the question, could you come into our company and do this? You know, people I work with need to understand this. And the primary request that I get is for stress, because people are stressed to the max these days. Mm-hmm. And I find no matter what I go, where I go, what kind of industry, whatever professions people have, they're stressed. And what I looked at and saw is that it's not so much our own personal life experience, but it's everything that's being layered on with technology, the media. While it's a wonderful thing to always be knowing what's going on in the world, all of these layers of stress are being added on to our personal lives, and people have lost touch with ways to be grounded, to quiet themselves.
So what happens when you go into a company? Let's say you came into WGNU today, or you know any company. What do you do to help them become more productive?
Well, I usually would start with doing a seminar on stress and educating people about stress, what it is, why it happens. The number one thing that I like people to understand is that stress isn't caused so much by the circumstances that we're in, but by what we tell ourselves about the circumstances that we're in. It's all in our mind.
It's self-talk.
Yes. Well,
The
chatter.
The chatter that goes on.
And when I first started doing these programs a few years ago, I was a little bit nervous about telling people about all the voices in my head. Mm-hmm. But what I recognized is that it's the person is the exception who doesn't have those voices going on. And yet that is our task in life. If we can learn to quiet those voices and listen to that inner voice inside of ourselves, it goes a long way to being calmer and happier and more content.
I once said to somebody, the interesting thing is you can't get away from you. We are with ourselves 24/7. And so what is that conversation in our head? Is it a positive experience or is it a negative? Or are we telling ourselves, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do this, I can't do that? And that's a lot of self-sabotaging information that we give ourselves on a daily basis.
Negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, what's going through my mind right now is based on part of what you're talking about, is if we go in and we're hearing the negative, which is not going to serve us, which is going to create more stress, how do we replace that with the positive, reframe it in positive ways? Is that part of the work you teach, is reframing?
Not as much, because my focus is right now usually is with people to just get them to be aware that it's going on. Most people are not even aware that the chatter's happening until they start to get quiet. When they start to get quiet, then they might hear the negative voices, or they might hear societal voices, or their mother's voice, or their father's voice, or whatever it is that's motivating their behavior. But I think the just getting quiet is the first step that most people aren't aware of how to do. The next step then is, I think, to reprogram that, or to simply say, stop, I'm not going to listen to it.
You're right. I mean, there are more voices in your head than just your own. What struck me was your mother's voice. I hear my mother's voice all the time. And my mother was the greatest mom, but she taught me some dumb stuff. And things that we internalized, and things that she said to me that I interpreted in a negative way, and she did not mean it that way, but that's what I heard.
Yes.
So we hear that voice over and over again saying, you shouldn't be. Here's a good example. My mother taught me that it was bad to ask people to do things for you. You should be responsible for your own stuff. You should not ask people to do things that you're not willing to do. You need to carry your own weight. So I'm a very bad delegator. I find it extremely difficult to ask people to do things for me. I feel embarrassed. I feel guilty. I feel like that's a bad, it's sinful. I should be able to, do everything by myself, because that's what my mother taught me.
Exactly. And so perhaps your path to wholeness,
yes,
to being your best self, is to spend a week or a month or whatever asking people for things that you need, and purposely putting yourself in that situation to where until you get comfortable with it. Because it is okay. It is okay to ask people. And you are a very responsible person. And I'm sure you do for all kinds of people. So to give ourselves permission to